This is the Eric Francis Show, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I could do that four times every spring. Game 7, high drama. We have a hero. It's the Eric Francis Show, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Thanks so much for everybody for joining us. An incredible night at the Dome last night. I've covered this city sports scene for almost 30 years, and I'm putting that top five moments all time. Just the anticipation that built throughout that entire game. It felt almost inevitable, but as I asked Matthew Tkachuk afterwards, did it feel inevitable to you? He said, yeah, or at times you wondered if it was ever meant to be and we were ever going to score on Jake Oettinger. So much to get into. The Battle of Alberta is back after 31 years. The shot totals continue to trickle in from last night. True story. We went to bed last night and there was 129 shot attempts by the Calgary Flames, which is an absolutely unheard of number for a hockey game. And we wake up this morning and it's at 134. The shots continued as we slept. As the NHL adjusted, they often review numbers at the end of the day. 67 shots on goal, 67 either missed or blocked shots. Incredible. Gaudreau, Coleman, Tkachuk, Gudbranson, Hanifin, they combined for 37 shots, just those five guys. The Dallas Stars had 28. That is dominance like I don't know if I've ever seen before in my life. All the Stars could do is flip it out and pray and wait for Jake Oettinger to make 10 more saves in a five-minute stanza. We're going to get to our first guest right away. We have Jamie McCowan joining us first. Mike Vernon's going to join us second. And in the third segment, Mark Spector, who literally wrote the book on the Battle of Alberta. We're going to talk Battle of Alberta all day long because that's what's going to consume our province for the next 2 weeks. And a man who participated in the last Battle of Alberta 31 years ago, Jamie McCowan. How are you, my friend? Did you enjoy that game last night?
You know, that's being an old, jaded hockey player, it was pretty incredible because you see so many games, you've participated in so many games, and sometimes the hype doesn't come anywhere close to what it should be. And I got to be honest with you, I was watching it at the end of the game. I had to leave a little bit early. In between periods, I raced home to do some work. And I'm sitting there watching the game with my dog. And when we scored, I literally threw my hands up. Even though there's no one around, I threw my hands up and went like, yeah, here we go. And then I realized, wow, I have changed, right? I'm no longer the cool hockey player, if I ever was cool. But I was excited for that game. I was more excited, I think, for the players because they deserved to win that game. But we both know, we've both seen it many, many times where a team can dominate for basically the whole game and still end up somehow losing. And luckily for us, Johnny and Matthew had one of their better games of the series, and the best team won.
Yeah, the best team did win. That's the beautiful thing about this, if you're a Calgary Flames fan, of course, because this franchise, as you know as well as anybody, as a proud alumni and leader of the alumni group, this franchise for the last 30 years has not, luck has not necessarily been kind to them. The bounces haven't gone their way. I was talking to Theo Fleury earlier this morning, and he was citing, I think it was 90, I'm going to get the day, I think it was 96 the Flames played San Jose. I know you were long gone, but they played San Jose, and I think they had 63 shots on goal in a Game 7 there and lost. It all blends in, but you know, this was justice in every way. When you're watching that game, Jamie, does that conjure up memories of 91, or am I connecting the dots a little too easily there?
Well, you know, I guess it really depends on what kind of role you play with a team. You know, like there's the stars or in many cases, the guys that were supposed to be scoring the goals. So there's always a lot of pressure on a guy. You know, here's a 40-goal scorer, and what have you done for me lately? So there's so much pressure on those guys to produce. The role that I had morphed into was more of a defensive style where I'm trying to prevent the guys. So, you know, you go out and have your, you know, one of the greatest games ever. You're minus one, and the coaches are going, this is the greatest game you ever played. But the average person on the street's going, like, what did you do? You get a goal? No. Assist? No. You're minus one. Like, what kind of game was that, right? But, you know, the reality is, like, any time you can get to a Game 7, I mean, that is literally what athletes live for. You know, it's like, the, it's, you know, I guess in football, you've got the big game at the end of the year, and it doesn't matter what's gone on beforehand. It comes down to one game, and sometimes the best team wins, and sometimes they don't. And like I said before, the Flames had a great season all year long. You know, from that standpoint, they deserved to win. But we've all seen that team just peak at the right time in Dallas, and that goaltender that they found out of nowhere, sort of thing. He literally carried that team. And if he hadn't been there, even put in a regular goalie that plays relatively well, I think Calgary would have had that series in, let's say, five, right? He was that big of a difference maker.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking to Jamie McCowan. He was a member of the Calgary Flames team in 91 when the Battle of Alberta was last waged in the playoffs. And so I want to go there. I want to talk to you about the fact that more than one generation has gone by and not seen this sort of collision course in the province. Take me back to the 91 series and the slide, okay? Well, before we get into the slide, just tell me about your memories from that series against the Oilers in 91.
Well, you know what? I mean, to be honest with you, all the Battle of Albertas were kind of the same. It was like the city of Calgary, you know, at least when the hockey comes into play and the playoffs come to fruition, they hate Edmonton. They hate every person in Edmonton. They hate their brother and sister that live in Edmonton, right? I mean, that's just the way it's been set up. And so it goes all the way back to the very first time I talked to basically anybody off the street, and I was up in Market Mall, and we're playing Edmonton, and this is back in 83, and literally some lady comes up to me, and in her, I would assume she's in her 50s or 60s, which at that time to me seemed like it was so old, but now it's younger than me. But all she said to me, "You're McCowan, right?" And I go, yes, I am, ma'am. And she goes, "You better beat Edmonton, right?" And I'm going like, "What is wrong with this lady?" and I'm going like, so then I kind of twigged like, okay, so it's kind of ingrained in Calgary and it's ingrained in Edmonton that, yeah, doesn't matter what else happens in the whole season. You just got to beat Edmonton or you got to beat Calgary. And I don't think that's tapered off at all. And the unfortunate part is for so many young fans of the game, they haven't had a chance to see it. And, you know, they're going to see, you know, playoffs are a little bit more rough and tumble. And they're going to see, you know, whatever they saw today, yesterday, as far as physicality, you're going to see that and more when it comes to this next series. And you hope everybody is healthy every game, and you hope everybody comes out of the series healthy. But, you know, we know from experience that's not always the case. So it's I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. And hopefully the players realize the moment that they're in, because, you know, you get traded away from Calgary, or they get traded away from Edmonton, and suddenly they're in whatever, San Jose. It's not the same, right? It's just not the same. The city's not, you know, when you're walking down the street and every bar has, you know, the Flames stickers up, and they, you know, people are driving around their cars with the Flames flags going. It's a time for that the city really does come together. I mean, obviously when the Stamps play some games against Edmonton, it's big, but not nowhere near what it is when Edmonton and Calgary play in hockey.
And do you think, you know, I mean, that's the backdrop that this series will be played in front of, that there's a history of violence and vitriol and, you know, all sorts of really over the line things that don't happen in hockey anymore. This is going to be a different version of the Battle of Alberta. Am I correct?
I think you might be surprised how close it comes to the old games. I mean, yeah, you're not going to get I'm just thinking of like the goalie tries to spear you, and then as you're going by, you punch him in the head, and the referee just kind of goes, "Oh, that's all good," right? Like that was the old days. And as you go by, they're spitting on you from the bench, you know, and stuff like that. And the fans are throwing stuff at you. I mean, it was fun. I mean, it really was fun. It sounds silly to say that, but to get into that dressing room before the game and to look around at your teammates that you know are going to be playing with you, that's really what hockey's all about, because you're looking at each other in the eye and you're saying like, you got my back, I got your back, you know, I'll do my best, you do your, you know, all those things that are going through your mind. And then even maybe more importantly, after the game's over, when you've had that, you know, very difficult game and maybe physical and maybe more violent in the old days, but you looked at each other and you just kind of like, you just nodded to each other. It was kind of like, you know, we did it. Like, we got through this game and we played well and hopefully we won. And these are memories that, you know, that bond people forever. And I know the league's different now. Guys get traded more and they're more in control of their own destiny, so to speak. But, you know, like, Calgary is maybe the best example in a long time where the guys from the 89 team, you know, which had battles of Alberta, most of those guys had many, many battles of Alberta. They got to know each other so well that, you know, when they were it's time to retire, where do you want to live? Well, where are you living? Well, I'm thinking of Calgary. Well, I'm thinking of Calgary too. And still, you know, best friends to this day. And yeah, that's something beautiful that you don't always get, right? And like, you know, half the guys that are in town still, you know, Bernie's in town, Patterson's in town, you know, Barazan was part of it earlier on, Paplinski, McDonald's in town, Dana Merzen, you know, myself. It's like, who am I missing? I'm missing somebody in there. But like, and we're still best friends. And so that's something that, that you can't just, you just can't, you know, wave a magic wand and it happens. It's, going through this battle is going to be great. And I'm looking forward to how Johnny and Art, like, I'll call them our top two guys, match up against their top two. I mean, they're both going to play well.
Yeah.
Both groups. Mm-hmm. Hopefully our defense are healthy. You know, I haven't heard what's going on with the injuries, but it's going to be, I think where Calgary probably could win if we have our two top guys, you know, held off the score sheet a few times. If Edmonton has their two top guys held off the score sheet, I don't think they're going to win, right? So that's, I think there's a little bit of difference in reliance on the stars or the superstars, if you want to call them.
Yeah, and I think goaltending, you know, Mike Smith has played well, and he's, you know, when he was in Calgary, he played brilliantly in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, I still put my money on Markstrom as opposed to Mike Smith. So that's another advantage, well, I think, the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, Mike Smith is a nice guy, and I mean, you know, he's one of those guys you want on your team. Like, he's a good guy in the dressing room, but he's got that little streak in him where he sometimes gets a little bit out of control. And, if we go seven games, you know, you might be looking back and say, Mike Smith caused three goals, like, on himself, right? Like, that's just the way he plays. And he's at his best when he's playing this kind of wild game and coming out of the net. And, you know, so the good news for Calgary is that if we're lucky enough to put, you know, 50, 60, 70 shots against Edmonton, we're going to score a few more goals than what we just had. I mean, that was one for the ages. That was like a carry, you know, how did he stop so many? He just had no pressure on him. He was like a young kid having the best time of his life, and the pressure didn't get to him. And I mean, he made some saves that, you know, there's very few goalies could have made, and let alone he made like dozens of them, right? Dozens. So, I'm like, getting back to the Edmonton, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, the cities love to hate each other, and you split the families. You know, I've got a sister-in-law that's a big Oilers fan, so we better win because I don't want to put up with her, right? Everything I say, when's the last time the Oilers even made the playoffs? Well, shoot, they made the playoffs this year, but they better not beat Calgary. So I think as the saying goes, I think we're better coached. I think we have a better team overall. I think most people admit they probably have the best player, but you know, on many of the other areas, I think we're superior. So hopefully that, and we're tougher this year. I mean, one thing that's changed with the Calgary Flames over the last few years is that instead of having one or two superstars and then kind of I shouldn't say a bad team, but a regular team, we've also got guys that are big and strong and willing to drop the gloves and willing to hit. And that's something I think that the Flames have been lacking for a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Jamie McCowan, and you forgot Joel Otto when you were mentioning the names that are still in Calgary. Theo Fleury, of course. I think you said Patter. And you guys did that, the Flames alumni, on the weekend. You were selling wood, firewood, over at Bracco Home, and raised a bunch of money for the Breaking Free Foundation. So you guys continue to do all that great work in the community. So we thank you for that. And I thank you for your time, my man. I appreciate it. Enjoy this series. I know it's nerve-wracking for a lot of people. But at the end of the day, it's all entertainment. It's all a ton of fun. And my God, we'll be glued to every moment, won't we?
Yeah, and you know what the worst part is? Now I got Ots and Theo will be phoning me up going, "You forgot me? How could you forget me?" I go, "Well,
I don't. You can't win.
I haven't gotten any gifts from you lately. How about a gift? You know, just something." But anyways, I appreciate it. Hopefully we have fun, and hopefully it's a long series because it's going to be great hockey.
Yeah. Great for the economy. Great for our psyche. We deserve it here in Calgary. We've had a rough go, and I think this is great for Calgary and the province. So thanks, Jamie. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Jamie McCowan. Played for the Calgary Flames for a number of years. Well-versed in the Battle of Alberta. I do think it'll be decidedly different than past Battle of Albertas. And one of the most fascinating things I'm looking for is, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, who basically reignited the entire thing a couple of years ago with Cassian and got the goalies fighting and all that. You know, he learned, I think, through this, series that, you know, he needed to back away from that stuff and just start playing hockey a little more. I wonder what his mindset will be going in against the Oilers, because Cassian's irrelevant right now. And I don't know if you want to wake that and start that up. Anyway, our next guest, Mike Vernon, he also played, of course, for a ton of years for the Calgary Flames. He knows the Battle of Alberta as well as absolutely anybody. He says his phone's been blowing up today with everybody wanting to talk to him. And I appreciate him taking time talking to us today. How are you, Vernie? Thanks for joining us.
Not so bad. It's all good.
Speaking of all good, you watched that game last night, I'm sure. What was going through your mind as you're watching it?
I just wanted a good outcome, right? And you run up against a hot goaltender and anything can happen. And, you know, you just hope that you can get to him. And Johnny Gaudreau got to him. Finally, after probably a lot of looks last night, and this kid kept standing on his head. So it was just one of those goals that got in and squeaked by his arm, and they're victors. So kind of very similar to 30 years ago when Grant Fuhrer, and, he's standing on his head and we're peppering him with shots, and I'm just hoping they don't come down and get a good scoring opportunity and score. So, you know, I was feeling for Markstrom a bit, but, he stood on his head when he had to, and he made some timely saves too. So it was a good series to watch. Outstanding goaltending that I like. A lot of the other people might not like it, it was a great series, and it went 7 games, so you couldn't ask for anything more, and the Flames victors.
When you're watching a guy like Ottinger, and you're right, I'm glad you mentioned Markstrom, because all the press conferences were finished last night and nobody said a word about Jacob Markstrom. As you know better than anybody else, Vernie, when you're playing well, everyone just takes you for granted and says, "Well, yeah, he's a great goalie." When you have a bad game or a questionable game, everyone's pointing their finger at you. But when you're watching Ottinger last night, do you have memories of, you know, I'm not sure you ever had a night where you faced 67 shots, but, you know, you've been in zones many times. Do those spark memories for you?
Well, they're, you know, yeah, it's always good to get lots of action, and it's good to make those stops and those timely stops. But, you know, I've been on the other side of that too, where, you know, I'm sitting there watching our team pepper the other goalie and just hoping they don't come down and and get a lucky bounce the other direction. And that's happened to me too. You know, Esa-Tikkanen comes down and it deflects off of Frankie Musil's stick, the shaft of his stick, and goes the other way on me and score, and they're victors. So I've seen both sides of it. And, you know, I had a bit of a soft spot for Markstrom because, you know, he's sitting there. A lot of the action was at the other end. And from his standpoint, he held up his end of the bargain. And that's not an easy thing to do. And I don't think a lot of people look at it that way. They just look, wow, we're out shooting them. He should be fine. But to sit there and watch your team dominate and rack up those shots, it's tough on your mindset. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And yeah, he handled it very well. And
there were a couple chances there late with Pavelski in overtime in particular. He got in alone, and that could have ended it. And I know a lot of people were watching and cringing that he got alone, so alone. But Markstrom stood there. Do we still have you there, Vernie? Okay, we lost Mike Vernon, but we'll try to get him back here.
Sorry about that.
There you are. Okay. Take me back to 91. You just referenced the winning goal in that series. It goes off Frankie Musil's leg there, and there's nothing you could do about it at that point in time. But what are your memories from the last Battle of Alberta in 1991? What sticks out?
Well, the only thing that rings a bell is we lost. So, you know, it's the same story. Playoffs can go either way, right? It's when you're in game seven situations and into playoffs, a seven game series, things can go either way and you can't take anything for granted and you have to work every shift. You can't take a shift off. And it's just the mindset you get into as a team. And, you know, that series could have went either way too. So, we ended up being on the losing side of that.
Let me ask you about, you know, there's an entire generation or two that don't know what the Battle of Alberta, they've heard about it. They've heard the some of the stories, but don't really understand just how intense and vicious it was at times. But there's an iconic video that still plays on Hockey Night in Canada every single Saturday of Theo celebrating after scoring the overtime winner in that series. I guarantee you that a large majority of Flames fans who don't know the Battle of Alberta from the 90s think that that probably won a series for you guys. That won Game 6. It was a different story in Game 7. Just kind of remind people of what happened there.
Well, Theo scored a big goal, obviously, and we won that game. And then he went down onto his knees and at center ice and spinning around. And some of us were like going, Theo, get up. We haven't won anything yet. Yeah. You know, and you look at that Edmonton Oilers bench, and they were watching that. And you don't want to give a team a reason to hate you more or to dig down deeper. And a little thing like that, even though it was inconsequential to the game and things like that, little things set people off. And put your guard down. You always have to have your guard up until the series is over. It was a great goal, but we still had another game to play. And you can ask any of the Edmonton Oilers about that. That's probably one of the things that pop into their mind is watching Theo.
Mm-hmm. In their rink. It was in Edmonton.
Yeah, in their rink. And it was playing through their heads a lot, I bet. And, you know, that's the way things go. There's a psychological part of the game of hockey. And it goes throughout the whole series. It's discipline. Don't let your guard down. It's all those things that the coach repeats constantly. And you have to have the frame of mind that you can't let that upset you. You just have to keep, even a punch in the face. You know, a guy gets an elbow in the face, you feel like reacting back and you got to bite your tongue.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I was speaking to Theo Fleury earlier today about the slide and that 91 series. And it bothers him that everybody kind of suggests that gave them fuel, because he says, yeah, they were so mad about it that they were down 3-0 in game 7 in the first 10 minutes. And I know you remember that part well too. But those are the swings, right? Those are the swings you go through.
The swings in the game of hockey are, you know, someone said to me the other day, it's like, you know, you watch football. You don't have bad football, like puck luck, we call it, football luck. You might get the odd fumble, a tip, and the odd interception. But in a hockey game, puck luck, it goes back and forth nonstop during a game. Mm-hmm. Hitting posts on both sides, off a guy's foot into the net. There's so much of that that occurs in a hockey game, and you look at other sports, and it's not so much like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
baseball, you don't get that, right? There's just too much of it in hockey, and it's sometimes uncontrollable.
Yeah, and even last night where the Flames, as someone sent to the fan feedback line, if it was a boxing match, they would have called it off because it was too lopsided. Someone was going to get hurt. But the first 4 or 5 minutes of that overtime, Dallas got the first four shots in overtime, and suddenly it was the Flames were on their heels until they flipped the narrative around, and then they had a power play, didn't score on the power play. That can set a team back. It's why we love the game, because it's never out of reach, and it is so fun to watch. That I spoke to you earlier this year when Markstrom was on his tremendous shutout run, and you were telling me just how invested you are in this team, how much more fun it is to be a Flames alumni again and a fan. You've been watching this team quite closely this year, haven't you?
Well, when I'm at home, I try to watch the games. And, you know, I'll follow them and things like that. I generally watch the games. And it is just good to see, you know, Daryl's back behind the bench and how the guys are reacting to Daryl and how this team has even from the GM standpoint and how they've built this team, they've got much bigger, more physical, and they brought in guys that can score some big goals. And it's just a fun team to watch. And even if the team loses, they don't generally get outplayed. And that's a good sign of a Daryl Sutter team.
And I think another thing is they're pretty even-keeled. Like even either in-game or over the course of two or three games, if they do slide a bit, they never seem to overreact and panic. And that was something that was evident again last night.
Yeah, there seems to be a calm on our team. And, you know, they got some good veterans in there that take the bull by the horns and kind of set the tempo. And it's a fun team to watch. You're never going to get you're going to get your money's worth every time you watch the Flames play.
Yeah, absolutely. He's Mike Vernon. This is the Battle of Alberta. It's back starting Wednesday at the Dome, Wednesday and Friday, before we shift over to Edmonton. The last question I have for you, Vernie, is, you know, speaking to Jamie McCowan earlier, I think this is going to be much different than any of the Battle of Albertas we've seen in the past. 31 years have passed. The game has changed tremendously. There's no more, as Theo mentioned this morning, he said, we were swinging full-on baseball swings at guys, two-handers, and nothing was being called. And am I exaggerating? I mean, you tell me. That's how bad it was, wasn't it?
A lot of time, we only had one referee on the ice.
That's right, yeah.
And he can't follow the puck and see what's going on behind him. So there was a lot of free for alls and things like that. And obviously, I think that discipline is going to be a big part of this because both power plays are tremendous. You're going to have to play very smart hockey and compete. And I think with the Flames, when they start laying the body on, they can dominate out there. So I expect it to be a great series. Both teams are looking good. And I guess all I can say is just stand by. And it will unfold. There'll be lots of stories to tell and to look at and to talk about. But I think the hockey world is looking forward to this because ESPN is back. And last time they had their best ratings was Calgary-Edmonton series back in the day. So I think a lot of people in the hockey world are anticipating, wanted this series to happen. It is here on Wednesday, so should be exciting.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny talking to Brian Boucher and some of the guys from the American networks last night. They're not convinced that this will move the needle south of the border. I disagree. I think this is great for not only our city and our province, but I think the game. And I think even the Americans will start to pay attention if this series unfolds the way we kind of expect it to.
Well, when you got Wayne Gretzky on one of the panels, I think that it's going to be talked about a lot.
Yeah, good call. You're going to be represented well, so that's awesome. All right, Mike, yeah. I appreciate your time. Thanks, my man. We'll see you see you down at the Dome or around the golf course real soon.
All right. Take care. Ciao.
All right, take care. Cheers. That's Mike Vernon, Flames legend. Just great to hear his thoughts. It's so great to see the alumni so interested and fascinated by this team as this whole city is, and especially this time when we look back and kind of honor the past with these old memories of these guys who were there in the glory days of this franchise and maybe arguably the game itself. But either way, good to hear from him and Jamie McCown. We thank them both for their time. Okay, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, the man who wrote the book on the Battle of Alberta, Mark Spector, he's going to give us a bit of a view from the other side, but also kind of tell us just a little, you know, his book is brilliant, by the way, if you haven't read it. And now would be a great time to go pick up a copy, The Battle of Alberta. He's going to sum up some of the great stories of the Battle of Alberta and what this thing's all about and a lot of the history that the younger fans have no idea about, but are going to learn really quickly, and that's great. Before we take a break, though, I want to come on. I just want to say my condolences to the family of Bill Creighton. Bill Creighton passed away on the weekend. He started the Calgary Flames charity golf tournament, which has raised millions and millions of dollars and made a difference in a lot of lives in this community. He also started the Riley's Best Ball Tournament, which is a phenomenal endeavor in town. And he also was chiefly responsible for bringing daylight savings to Alberta, which allows us to play golf till 10:30 at night in the summer and play slow pitch or soccer or whatever you want, just a little bit longer. A great man who did so much for amateur sports in our city, and I consider him a friend, and I was really sad to hear that he passed away on the weekend. So our thoughts are with Billy, and it's too bad because he would have loved the Battle of Alberta more than pretty much anybody. So our thoughts with Bill Creighton and his family. This is the Eric Francis Show. It's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Join us for live racing and our Industry Mental Health Day in support of the Lionheart Foundation this Saturday at Century Downs. Post time is at 2:15. You're listening to Sports at 960, The Fan.
This is the Eric Francis Show, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Alberta bound, ESPN, TNT, they're all coming. They're going to watch this series. They're going to show the Americans what hockey's all about. It's going to be great. People in Canada, you know what's great about the Battle of Alberta coming back? It's also great that they have center stage in Canada. And that's not to say that I'm happy the Leafs lost or anything like that. You know, it would have been great if there were more Canadian teams, of course. But the fact that the Leafs are out, Montreal's out, Winnipeg's out, Vancouver's out, Ottawa's out, it just leaves two. And they happen to be facing one another, and that takes center stage for the next 2 weeks. We are the epicenter of Canadian sports. That's pretty cool. It's been 31 years since we could even think about saying something like that. That's a feather in our cap, and it's something I keep saying. I think Calgary deserves it. We've been through some real crap here over the last little while. Of course, the world's gone through a bunch of stuff, but our city in particular. But here we are. Oil's back. And the Battle of Alberta's back. And so is Mark Spector. He's a regular here. You watch him. You read him on sportsnet.ca. One of the best in the business. And he's written a book. I've mentioned it many, many times. I'm trying to get some sort of royalty or some sort of kickback, but he's not coughing anything up. But he wrote The Battle of Alberta, and it's still in bookstores, and now would be a great time to go pick one up. Mark, thanks for joining me.
How you doing, Eric? What the heck? I tend to pay out my royalties in cold beer, so maybe we can figure some kind of a payment system out over the next 2 weeks.
God bless you. God, I will take you up on that. That's absolutely the perfect payment. Okay, you, as someone who wrote the book, when people ask you about the Battle of Alberta, what do you tell them?
Well, you know what? It was the emotion, right? I always, now that I've done a few interviews already today, Eric, on this, and mm-hmm. I'm really fighting. I'm not ever going to be that old crusty guy that says, I was better in my day, because it was like the hockey's faster now and the hockey's better now. And these teams have beat those teams, I'll bet you, for fun. But unfortunately, a lot of the fun that came from those series was emotion. And a lot of that emotion was born by, you know, guys beating the hell out of each other, bare knuckle fighting with by Marty McSorley spearing, you know, Mike Bullard in the groin, by Bob Johnson standing there holding court and say, by Bob Johnson dressing a junior A goalie, an AJHL goalie, in an Oilers jersey so that the Flames could get the feeling of blowing pucks past Grant Fuhr, you know. But a lot of the emotion came from things that just don't happen anymore. So there will be emotion here. I asked Mike Smith only moments ago if we could expect a goalie fight, and he shook his head no. There will be emotions here, but they're going to come. They're going to have to come from different sources than the way they used to come, because guys get kicked out for five games if they do in 2020 what they did back in 1985.
Oh yeah, and in your book, I was just reading some of it again this morning, because I'm writing on that 91 series. You're going to be writing about. This is the one day before the series where we can get all nostalgic and reminisce about. Yeah. You know, the glory days of the Battle of Alberta. But what's your favorite story or two from the book, or just from the Battle of Alberta? Because for me, you've touched on so many in the book. I love Glenn Hall grabbing a columnist in a headlock and trying to get him to fight him because of something he wrote. I love stuff like that. I like Doug Risebrough stomping on a jersey and trying to rip it to pieces with the blades of his skates. What are your favorites? Those are great.
How come guys don't do that stuff anymore, man?
Oh, I know. I'd love it.
The coffee that used to come out of those series, you know. I mean, it was, oh, my God. I don't even know. I always get asked, hey, what was the best moment to develop?
It's a tough one.
And there was so much stuff that happened. To me, Eric? It was a smaller time. Like Glenn Sather was both the general manager and the head coach. So every day, he sat around and held court, and you talked to him at length, and he was a very colorful interview, and he said stuff, you know, that coaches don't say today. Our coach up here, Jay Woodcroft, now is a really smart, cerebral young guy who never gives you a decent soundbite anymore because he's very careful. Back then, Cliff Fletcher was standing around every practice ready to get interviewed. You know, back then when Grimson won a fight over Dave Brown. Dave Brown walked around catatonic for like 48 hours until the rematch. And they called in the Eskimos equipment man, Dwayne Mandruziak, who taught them how to make the jersey on Brownie's left arm so tight that Grimson couldn't get a hold of it. And then they covered it with Vaseline. Right? This is an old trick they did with offensive linemen. So, of course, Grim Reaper couldn't get a hold of that left hand, and we know how that one ended. But, like, again, there was so much stuff going on back then that you know, when Bullard hopped off of that stretcher underneath the stands at the Northlands Coliseum and sent word through the trainer to the coach, hey, I'm ready to play, I can come back and play. And the coach sent word back to him, said, nah, we don't need you, you're playing lousy anyway. You know, we'll see what happened anymore, man.
No. Oh, my God. I love it. You know, yes, and you're right. I good on you for not wanting to, you know, say that those are the good old days. I mean, talking to Theo Fleury earlier, I keep mentioning this, but he talked about how they were swinging their sticks like baseball bats in that series.
Yes.
And in your book, you point out these are the sort of series that brought the second referee into play for the NHL eventually, because these guys knew that the guy only had two eyes that could only look one way. And as soon as he was looking that way, they would crush somebody with something that would get you a suspension for 8 to 12 games now.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And Theo would know, right? He was, nobody gave more and received more in those series than Theo. I mean, oh my goodness. You know, I don't need to tell Calgary fans about how he could dish it out. And oftentimes when the referee's back was turned, but he was so well respected that in that 91 series, they played Steve Smith and Jeff Bookaboom against him on almost every shift. And their sole purpose was just to leave Theo black and blue. And those two guys were like 6'4" and 6'5". And, you know, Theo, oh my God, like, did he keep coming? You know, he never stopped coming. So, hey, it was fun. We had, you know, when I think back to guys like Neil Sheehy, who discovered that the way to make the Oilers the maddest was not to fight. He was the only guy on the ice that publicly declared, I'm not fighting anybody. And it drove the Oilers crazy that he wouldn't drop the gloves. And he was one of the most effective pests in that whole, through all the years of that thing. You know, and yes, Satikinen, I don't remember him ever fighting anybody. But, oh, man, what a pain in the rear end he was. So I hope we get some characters. Eric, we need some black hats. I put this on Matt Tkachuk. I hope that he engages. He's the guy that stirs, that has previously been the straw that stirs the drink in this rivalry, right? I hope he gets that black hat on tight, and I hope he does what Matt Tkachuk does so well, because if he gets her going, then the spinoffs begin, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
See, and that's where I think this is going to be so fascinating, because we just watched a series where after game three, Matthew Tkachuk made a distinct effort to avoid that stuff, because it wasn't working for the Calgary Flames. They wanted to play 5-on-5 hockey. That's what they want to play. Yes. They're the best team in hockey, 5-on-5, and they just needed to stop the coincidental minors. They needed to stop the fighting majors. They just needed to play hockey. So I would be fascinated. My hunch is that you're not going to see Tkachuk do as much of that stuff as you would normally anticipate, but he can't help himself a lot of times, and he's certainly not going to shy away if someone pushes him first. So he'll be in the fabric of the game. I think Zadorov and Gabranson will also be every bit a part of that as well. And, I guess I'll ask you this. You know, who can respond for the Oilers? I think that's a legitimate question. With all the muscles in Calgary, including Lucic as well, you know, who can we expect to push back for the Oilers? Because I don't really see many people in that lineup that I think could.
No, Calgary is a – and let me know if my reception's bad, because I'm not hearing you as good as I should. But Calgary's a bigger, tougher
– Yeah, your reception is bad. I'll tell you that right now. I don't know if you could move.
Okay, I'm trying to get somewhere better, but let me move around while I'm talking to you. The Calgary Flames are a bigger, tougher team. They have more – you know, that Zadorov, good Branson pairing, Eric –
Sorry, Mark, I'm just going to cut you off. Should I disconnect? Sorry, guys. Should I disconnect or should he? I'll guess me. Okay. Mark, you still there?
I'm still here.
Ah, sorry, buddy. Yeah, this is we've got a bad connection here. We're, are you moving around? Are you where are you at the building right now?
I'm in the building, cover to practice. Yes.
Okay, we should be better now. Hopefully we're better now.
How about this? Is this any better?
It's not better. Okay, can we hang up with Mark and call him back? All right, we're talking to Mark Spector. It's the Battle of Alberta, goes Wednesday, and I do want him to answer that question. Who's going to push back for the Oilers? Because at this point in time, I'm not sure there are many who can or will. I mean, not anyone's going to back down, but Zach Kassian's about the only guy who, he's the guy we're all expecting to be involved in the fabric of the game and someone who we think will be a big part of this if things go sideways. But I think we're going to have a very, very different series than what we're anticipating going in. I think they're going to play hockey. And, all right, we've got Spec back. Spec?
Right here.
All right, buddy. Thank God. Okay. Thanks for your patience. So, yeah, answer that question. Who's going to push back for the Oilers?
Well, again, the Calgary's a bigger, stronger team. They got bigger guys. Edmonton doesn't have a pairing like Zadorov and Gudbranson, right, that is that big and that physical. They don't have it. But, you know, they've got enough guys, in my opinion, for the level of what it takes today. You know, it was a pretty physical series against L.A. There's plenty of guys throwing plenty of hits. If push comes to shove, Darnell Nurse is still a big, tough guy. You don't want to fight, and he's your 25-minute guy, but he'll fight, and he's very difficult to handle at 6'5". We all know Zach Kassian. He's on the fourth line now where he should be. Tough fourth-line right winger. He's as tough as they come. Evander Kane is a very good and physical first-line left winger. You don't, again, want him in the box the same way you don't want Tkachuk in the box, but anyone who's seen Evander Kane, throw him. He's a really tough cat. So they got a few guys here, you know what I'm saying? Not a whole bunch. They play a physical game. They got some smaller guys that will hit you hard. And to be honest with you, you know, I think, how would I say, To me, my concern isn't whether Zadorov and Gudbranson are going to beat somebody up as much as, or just be physical, as much as if they don't have the right matchup at home, you know, can they handle the speed of a guy like Connor McDavid, or can they, you know, are they going to strip that puck from Zach Hyman, who's the human cycle here? So it's not all about fighting, and it's a lot less about fighting than it used to be. I guess that's what I'd have to say to you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Mark Spector. He wrote the book on the Battle of Alberta, of course. We can now expect a new version of the book to come out probably as early as next Christmas.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I wrote a book years ago and kind of said I'd never do it again either. But anyway, that's funny. What he's saying is, if you can get your hands on a copy, they're limited edition, so you better get one now, is what he's saying.
That's it.
So handicap this series for me. We got four of the top eight scorers in the NHL in the series. I don't think anybody disputes that you probably have the two best players in the series, although one's hobbled. Anyway, I'll let you handicap this series.
Yeah, I don't see how, you know, if let's start at the back end of this comment, I would pick the Flames to win. If I was a gambling man, I will predict that, you know, Flames in six or seven. They check more of the boxes and the important ones in the playoffs. You know, Mike Smith, look at his numbers. They're good. I know people in Calgary have a different view of Mike Smith, and that's fine. But he's been very good. He's not as good as Jacob Markstrom. Markstrom's better. Flames are better in goal. Flames are better, have a better defense, right? Their group of six. Now, we'll talk about Tanev if he's in or if he's out. But and same with Shillington after watching that play last night. But I'm going to tell you that all in all, the Flames have a better defense, of course. So if you tell me they got better goaltending, a better defense, I'm telling you they're three quarters of the way to winning the series. You know, Edmonton does have the best two guys, and those two guys are pretty well supported now, Eric. You know, they added, this team has, I mean, Evander Kane only had 7 goals in the first round, right? He was on pace for 40 goals and 90 points in the regular season. He only played half a season. Zach Hyman makes you a way better team, and he's the ultimate playoff player. He's a beast in puck possession in the offensive zone. He's such a good player watching him play this year. He's better than you think. So they got guys here, right? And I'll tell you what, they battled with LA for 5 games, and it was back and forth, and I don't know who was the better team. And then Connor McDavid turned it up, and they put Draisaitl up with them, and they stacked their top six, and LA couldn't handle them anymore. Couldn't handle them. So can the Flames handle them? You know, Flames are better. Maybe they can handle them. But if you saw Connor McDavid play 6 and 7, and the team that played defensively alongside him, you know what? It's not easy to beat this Oilers team when they play that way. How about that?
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, listen, we got to go. Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you in town here tomorrow. And we'll probably hook up with you again next Monday to find out how the series has gone so far. Thanks, Mark.
All right, Eric. Thanks for having me.
All right, Mark Spector. This has been the Eric Francis Show, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Join us for live racing and our Industry Mental Health Day in support of the Lionheart Foundation this Saturday at Century Downs. Post time is 2:15. We'll be back with the Eric Francis Show next Monday, noon to 1 o'clock. We focus on stories. We'll have lots of them to tell from this series and past series when we reconvene again next week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.